Now Brad, the GM, joins us exclusively here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as the season has officially come to an end. Brad, appreciate the time as always. Thank you for doing this. And I guess I wanted to start by just asking you, this season, I know you've talked about it being disappointing and obviously not the results you were looking for, but have you ever gone through a season that felt as heavy and felt like there was the weight of the world on your shoulders quite like maybe this one has?
Well, thanks for having me on, Pat, first of all. It was a unique year. It's unique for all of us, right? And one of the things we talked about as a group, going back to the bubble and then going into this year, is there's going to be challenges and there's going to be a lot of, there's going to be unique. There's we're all going to go through some challenges, but we're very fortunate in that we get to do our jobs. Number one, we're fortunate in the to be in the National Hockey League and what we think is doing the greatest job in the world. And there's a lot of people in the world that don't get to do that. So we held it as a responsibility to go out and try to entertain, people that were in a lot of cases dealing with a lot more difficult stuff than us. As much as it was hard and challenging, compared to what a lot of people in the world were facing, ours was an inconvenience, and we tried to keep that, we tried to keep that perspective. But no question, it was a strange year. And it had lots of challenges but saying that I want to be clear, Pat, we don't use any of that as excuses. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, collectively, we didn't get the job done, and that's on us.
Is there a danger of putting too much weight on evaluating this 56-game season because it was so strange? Or is this a very telling season for you when you evaluate your group when it's all said and done?
Well, I think you've got to be, somewhat careful, right? It's a different year. There's, one of the things I felt as we went, one of the things we talked about is just, It's not something that, people think of maybe, but, just how players dealt with the year, right? In a lot of case younger players who in a lot of cases are on their own, and, there's only so much we could do this year. You were very limited in your being around people, or you couldn't gather. You had your time at the rink, and then basically you were at home. And, even on the road, you had to be in your room or in the meal room and you had to be sort of on your own. And when a lot of those people that didn't have their support system around them or couldn't have a support system around them, or normally where you would have people come in and visit you and spend some time, especially when you're a younger player, a lot of us all have families and wives and kids to go home to. When you didn't have that, I really worried how that was going to affect guys. And, there's just a lot of time spending looking at those four walls. So, that's just a snapshot of some of the guys. I think you have to be, you have to be careful with this year. But we also can't just, say, we all had challenges and it was a weird year and ignore it. There's enough of body of work in this year that you certainly, there was enough to evaluate this year. And things that went wrong and things that need to change and things that need to improve we're not going to dismiss this year by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. And we need to take the information that we learned from this year and use it correctly.
When Derek asked you during the media availability today, kind of about what needs to happen this offseason, you said change is needed, and as currently constructed, this group isn't good enough. What is that change look like for you? I know you can't tell me specifics, but kind of in the big picture, what does that change look like for you, Brad?
Well, we'll see, Pat. We need all time just to kind of sit and talk and get, I want to sit down with our staff and sit down with Daryl and talk through it. But, I think when you you go through a year like we've had here, you've got to make some decisions. You know, we've certainly got players coming to, you know, certain points in their career and certain points in their contractual obligation that you've got to make some decisions on and look at. You know, so there's all sorts of ways you can go with that question, Pat. And with each guy, there's a different story for each guy in your roster. Collectively, you know, like I said, I'm of the view that this team underperformed. I think we, you know, and it's easy to, it looks distant and it looks long, you know, success looks a long ways away when you miss the playoffs here. But I do think that we've got some really good pieces here. And I feel it was a good team that underperformed. Now, is it good enough to get us to where we need to go? To me, the answer is no. And so then you have to sit back and really evaluate where you go with it and what changes need to be made and what direction you take. And you do that at the end of each year. But, you know, as I said today, I think this group's been together for a long time. You look at your own, you reflect on the job you've done here, myself, when I say that. And the decisions you made and why you made them, and you know, you go back and sort of do your own self reflection first, and then you get into the team, and we'll do that over the course of the next few days. So to sit here and make any proclamations of what changes are going to make, I think are premature. But certainly, you know, the team, you know, as we sit here right now, has got to change, and every year you do have change. We'll see how much takes place this off season.
GM Brad Treliving is with us. Do you believe that in terms of building blocks and players, do you believe that you have a core group to build around that could eventually be a consistent Stanley Cup contender, Brad?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a loaded question, right, Pat? Because I think always the questions around this team is, you know, do we need to change the core? And, mm-hmm. you know, ultimately, until a core group wins, there'll always be those questions around them, right? Like, you can go back to the Washington teams that, you know, never won until a lot of that core was in their late 20s, early 30s, till they won. I think we may, you know, as I look at our team right now, I think probably for the first time since I've been here, we really have to look at that. And it's easy, you know, where it's, you know, on the outside, it's easy to say, okay, let's go change the core, right? Let's go do this, or let's go change that guy. You know, you also got to do things that make sense for your team. And if you're moving people, you want to make sure that you're getting value for it, and that there's a fit out there in the marketplace. So, I think we're going to have some hard conversations about where we go with the group. I think there's some really good players here. And I think we've seen over their time here, they've been very productive players. How we augment, how we change, how we, you know, sort of come back next year different than we are this year, and to what degree we change, I think those are all things that we'll have to play out over the course of the next coming days and weeks and all the rest of it. But I certainly think that, you know, as an organization right now, we've got to take a hard look at where we're at and how we move forward.
So, and it's funny because, Brad, you talked about being a good team that underachieved. And I think that's the kind of the feel from a lot of people on the outside. And Daryl, about a week ago, talked about how, you know, this is a team that probably the expectations on the outside were too high, and fighting for fourth in the division is probably where this team should have been, and that's ultimately where they were at the end of the season. So, you know, as you look back, what were fair expectations for the Flames this year?
Well, I think it's very fair that, you know, that this should have been a playoff team. Like, you know, And that's the great thing. You can always have different opinions and different thoughts. And maybe I've got a longer history here than with some of these players and seen the group at certain times where, you know, I look back at, you know, just in recent time, you know, going through the experience at the bubble, and I thought there was some growth in certain players – You know, I look at the people that we added, and you know, not only you know what they do at their position, you know, the position they play and what they can add to our group on the ice, but you know what they're going to bring, you know, sort of to the, you know, in terms of continuing to build that culture you need to have success. But when I step back and really look at the team again, you know, we've tried to be aggressive each year to help our team get better. We've brought in some people that, you know, we were hoping to fill certain roles, and you know, in some cases that just didn't happen, right? And so that's, you know, the player wanted to do well, it just didn't work out. You got to figure out the player evaluation, and that starts with myself and our staff of, you know, what where and why some decisions were made. You have to look at how best you support, you know, the top end players in your organization. Did you do a good enough job to support them? So I really think, you know, like I said, we underachieved in certain areas. You know, we didn't do a good enough job to fill some organizational needs that we needed to fill. But all in told, I really felt that the roster that we went into the season with was good enough to be a playoff team. We didn't achieve that. And the goal isn't just to be a playoff team, right? When I say, okay, I think it was good enough to be in the playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, we're all going to watch the tournament here. And once you get in there, you certainly need to have a good enough team that you think, you know, the goal is to build a championship team. And to be a championship team, you hope you're knocking on the door, you know, on a consistent basis, and you find a way to break through. But I felt that, you know, once you get into that tournament, anything can happen. And certainly great disappointment that we're not still playing, and I felt that this roster was capable of being, at the very least, a playoff team.
And you're right, Brad. Like, a lot of times there is talk on the outside about making changes to this core or you know, making one or two moves with the big-name players on this team. With a flat cap and the current economic situation that the NHL is in right now, how much more difficult does that make it to potentially do that this offseason?
Well, there's certainly different challenges. Like I said, this last, what have we been in this now? 15 months, it feels like forever. But
yeah,
it sure it's certainly there's more challenges to it. But you know what? At the end of the day, Pat, nobody wants to hear excuses, right? Like at the end of the day, the job is the job, and you're going to have challenges every year. Certainly, the financial landscape is different than it was a year and a half ago, right? Like we're going to be in a. I was asked today, how long is this flat cap going to exist in the league? Well, you know, the salary cap mechanism is very, you know, it's very easily determined. It's based upon the revenue in the league. Obviously, when we've gone a year without any fans, or, you know, we're starting to see fans in some of the U.S. cities now, the league's taken a significant, significant financial hit. And so, you know, we're operating under the idea that there's going to be a flat cap for the foreseeable future. So, you know, those are the playing rules. So nobody needs to hear or wants to hear or should hear about how hard or how challenging it is. You know, the job is to get, you know, to operate within the rules that exist and make your team as good as you possibly can. So that's going to be the job that we, and that's what we intend to do. And so we'll see how things progress. It's, you know, another unique year. You've got an expansion team coming in. So I don't look at those as challenges, but there's maybe some opportunities that exist within because of that landscape. So we'll attack it and look at how we navigate through this and at the end of the day, do what we think is the right thing for the Calgary Flames. And, you know, it sounds like a motherhood statement, very cliche-ish right now, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's, we've got to find a way to make our team better. And, you know, that's the job we started here today and we'll continue throughout the offseason.
Flames General Manager Brad Treliving is with us. You talked about expansion, and you know, there have been questions, and Milan Lucic has confirmed that he will waive his no move to be exposed. There were questions to Mark Giordano today. I know you were asked about it in the general availability about potentially exposing your captain. How different is this year's expansion challenge from the Vegas challenge 4 years ago?
It's a little bit different. Like we, you know, there wasn't, if you go back, what was it, 4 years ago now, 5 years ago now with Vegas, you know, where, you know, it shows the growth of your team a little bit, right? Where, you know, you didn't have what you would call any expansion challenges, right? You're right, you know, depending on which way you go, whether you're 7-3-1, whether you're 8 skaters and a goalie, you know, there's players that you don't necessarily want to make available, that you're probably going to have to make available at some point. You're going to have to make some decisions, but that's, you know, that's the job, right? The job is you have to make tough decisions all the time. So we'll go through that process. We'll sit down with our staff, you know, and we'll ultimately make some decisions that we have to make. And, you know, like everybody else, you're going to lose a player. You know, that's the rules. You're going to lose a player to Seattle, and so we'll sit down and you know, we've gone through this. This isn't the first that we've sort of mocked out certain expansion lists and all the rest of it. We've gone through all the other teams and have been going through them for a year in terms of what opportunities may offer us or what may be out there, but. You know, now that as the expansion draft starts to approach and as you can officially have conversations with Seattle, and we've done that, you know, we'll be prepared for it and we'll make the best decisions we can in terms of not only our list, but you know, try to explore what opportunities may be out there for us with regard to everybody else's list.
With Johnny Gaudreau confirming that, you know, he would like to explore a potential long-term extension with the team, and I know, again, no specifics, but what's the desire on the team side to potentially go down that road as well?
Well, first of all, you get to that stage with certain players where they reach, you know, the stage of their contract where, you know, you can officially have conversations or you can extend people with a year left. So, you know, Johnny's been a good player here for a long time, and I got a good relationship with Johnny. I got a good relationship with his representatives. I think those are, it's just prudent as part of business, right? There's the personal side of it where I, you know, John and I have had a lot of talks in terms of, you know, moving forward. I think those will continue, but you know, it's got to make sense for everybody too, right? As you know, there's a financial aspect to it. You know, so I predict that we'll certainly have some conversations with John. Again, everybody wants to rush to conclusions here. John's still got another year left on his contract. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what the marketplace is, in terms of talking with him and his representatives and kind of go from there. You know, everything's a little fresh today because you're doing the wrap-up meetings and you're getting a chance really to visit with the guys personally for the last time for a while, right? It's even unique now where normally you could, you know, fly across the country and go see guys, and you're a little bit prohibited from doing all that right now. So we had a good conversation today, and, you know, I expect those to continue, and we'll see where that takes us over the next few weeks.
Two more, Brad. Daryl has said it, and you've said it, kind of the next step is for the two of you to sit down and chat and put together a plan and evaluate what happened this season. How collaborative is that conversation between coach, between general manager here? You plot out what comes next?
Well, I think it's very collaborative. Like, I you know... The days of just, you know, the coach, you know, finishing the year and going away and showing up for training camp with the players you have, I think you have to be in lockstep with each other. And, you know, Daryl's going to have views. I'm going to have views. You know, your staff's going to have views. You know, this was a little unique. Daryl came in halfway through the year and, you know, it was sort of do or die every night, right? So our focus since Daryl's been here has been, you know, preparing for the next game and dealing with everything on how do you win the next game. And certainly the manager's view is you're always looking for today, but you're also looking at tomorrow. But, you know, I haven't, you know, Daryl's focus has been strictly on how do we win the next game. So we wanted to get through, you know, the next couple of days and just wrap up our player meetings, you know, talk with our staff, get everybody that's all the players out of town that are going to be leaving over the course of the next few days, get that taken care of. And then, you know, next week him and I'll sit down and start charting out a plan of where we go from here. And, you know, he's now had a half of a shortened season to get familiar with the group that we have. And Daryl certainly is going to have some thoughts and ideas, and I think you have to be in lockstep of, you know, you're always going to have debates as you have with everybody in your staff, but ultimately you need everybody's input to formulate your plan to move forward.
Finally, I know today is still very raw and the season just ended less than 24 hours ago, but Brad, what are the positives that you can take from this season, maybe the 30 games under Daryl, that you look at and that you can take into this offseason and into the start of next season?
Well, I think number one, you have to start with the idea that, you know, where we are today is not what any of us want, expect from the season, right? When you miss the playoffs, to me, in the situation that we're in, is a team that expected to be a playoff team, it's an organizational failure, right? So we've fallen short of our expectations. So you have to understand that, you have to own it, and you have to realize that, you know, it wasn't good enough. Having said that, you'll always look back, and there's, you know, when the clouds sort of disappear a little bit, there are some really good things. And I think there still continues to be some progression with players that are still young players in this league. I look at Erasmus Anderson. I guess I'd start from the back end. I think, you know, we've got, in my mind, one of the top goaltenders in the league. And I think, to me, he's just entering the prime of his career in Jacob. You saw what he's capable of when he's healthy. I said it in the media today, I thought when he started the season, he was as good as anybody in the league. He got hurt, missed some time, and I think it took him a while even to come back from the injury that he had. He sustained a concussion, and he'd never had one in his career. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who's just used to putting his head down and battling through, and, you know, he missed some time, and I think even when he got back, it took him a while to get back on track. And I think at the end of the year, we saw, again, what I think is one of the top goaltenders in the league. I look at our defense, and I think, you know, you've got two real solid, top-end veterans in Mark and Chris Tanev. We saw the emergence of Rasmus Anderson. And, you know, there were times in a player's development where you're going to go through peaks and valleys. A year ago at this time, Rasmus was, you know, primarily playing on a third pair. He jumps in as a top pair. And you know what? It's not always going to be perfect. But I think he took some big steps really to establish himself. To me, this guy's a top four defenseman all day long in the NHL. I think Juuso Välimäki, there's still, you know, there was some ups and downs. He's coming back off a major injury. You know, really came close to, I think it was 70 games when it's all said and done, injury-free. Lots of work to be done with Juuso, but I think this is going to be a really good young defenseman. The emergence of Andrew Mangiapane, to me, is a, you know, you look at where he's come from over the last 12 months, you know, and the production that he's had and where he ranks, you know, throughout the league. You look at his 5-on-5 production. I look at a young player in Dylan Dubé and the steps that he took this year. So it certainly wasn't the year that any of us had hoped for, but there were some encouraging signs. Now it's up to us to build upon it and make the changes that need to be made here and as we go forward.
Be well, Brad. Thank you so much for the time.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.